Reggie ATL Sports Talk coming to you from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia with Eugene Morton. And Eugene, it is a fabulous time of year. It's playoff time. So we're going to get into some playoff. Is it your favorite time of the year? Do you have a preference to like basketball play? I like basketball playoffs because it's longer. It's like another season. But NFL playoffs is exciting because of the one and done nature of it. Like, it adds a sense of urgency to these games that you don't see in other games where it's a 7-game series, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I completely agree.
So what do you think? We'll jump into coaching hires first. We'll talk about, because I think only two have been hired so far, right? Who is it? Is it Matt Rhule in Carolina and a guy, Joe Judge, in New York for the Giants? I think those are the only two that have been hired so far, right?
No, McCarthy got Dallas.
Oh, and the biggest one, McCarthy. You know, I guess because the McCarthy one, which definitely deserves mentioning, is the least of the three that was surprising to me. Coaches like Mike McCarthy, they tend to lose jobs or leave jobs, stew for a while, and then become the most sought coach ever. Like, this is how it tends to happen in the NFL. Like, you'll have coaches that step all away from positions, and fast forward a few years, they become the most sought after coach.
Yeah. They become analysts, and all of a sudden they're super geniuses. We forget how terrible they were in the NFL.
You know? It's like that relationship when you get back with your ex, right? And you're thinking, hey, well, you don't forget all the bad stuff. You start to remember all the good times. Now, hopefully this won't be a situation where he gets with Dallas and then you start remembering why you broke up.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that McCarthy, I never disliked McCarthy personally. So I don't think that he's a bad coach. I mean, it's Dallas could have done worse with that pick. So I have no issue with the McCarthy pick at all here. The Joe Judge pick, the Matt Rhule, let's talk about Joe Judge last, because it's the one I have the most questions about. The Matt Rhule was just a matter of time because he was sought after. I don't know the guy. I didn't watch Baylor football like that. I am very much aware of the issues that Baylor had when it was going through. I don't know if those were Title IX issues it was having, but it went through some controversy a few years back, and he was responsible for kind of turning that thing around. So I kind of I like that. But I just don't get the I just don't know him. So I can't knock the Matt Rhule higher. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean you could come in. That college campus, I mean, that whole program had a black eye on it. And they come in and just get them competitive. It seemed like right away. I mean, I'd have to look back at the record.
I would too, right? Because he could have been here for like four years. I don't know.
I did not do a lot of research on it. I just know it was like, it felt like Baylor was not there. They got the scandal happened. The program went into disarray. He was hired and he brought him back.
Single-handedly on his back.
Yeah. On his back. I mean, I'm glad another college coach got hired. I'm tired of seeing all the regurgitation. Like you said, like, don't get me wrong, I do like Mike McCarthy, but I'd like to see some fresh blood since the college and the NFL, the way the offenses are, they're not different anymore. They used to be college offenses used to be different. So much different from NFL offenses now. Mm-hmm. They're so similar now. It's not a stretch now. I mean, like 20 years ago, it'd be, oh, that guy, it's going to be hard for him to be coached from college to NFL because the offensive schemes are so different. And now you see it's vice versa. NFL is stealing from college. College is stealing from NFL. And so there's not that delay when a guy goes from college to the NFL anymore.
Well, I pulled up his record here, and he was only there for 3 years, 17, 18, 19. He started, his first year was 1-11. But that's not his fault. I think that's where, you know, there were, he came in during that controversial year. I would never blame him for that. I don't usually blame coaches, no. first year coaches, for horrible situations because they're usually dealing with the previous. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. You're hearing everyone the last coach's recruits.
So his second year, 500, not setting the world on fire, but better. He finished 6-6. He won 5 more games second year. That is something to be said. And he won a bowl game over Vanderbilt. The Texas Bowl, 2018 Texas Bowl. And so they finished 1 over 500 if you count that bowl. They finished 7-6. Right. And then 11-1 this past season. And they lost to Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. And they lost to Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. But they were 11-1. Monumental change in 3 years. You flipped that in 3 years. You were 1-11 3 years ago. 11-1 this year. So one of the things I think that might be attractive to owners and managers across the league is this turnaround effort, because obviously if you're hiring a coach, you're in need of a turnaround. So I could see people looking at him and being like, well, he was a change agent in Baylor and he went there and was able to make an impact, have an impact. And I think the owners, and especially Tepper, I think Tepper's the owner in Carolina, new owner, is looking for somebody to come in and be able to make a big difference pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So jury's out on him. I can't give one way or the other about him. Did you have any issue with the McCarthy hire? I know you said you like him yourself. You didn't really feel nothing there for you one way or the other.
No, I mean, I thought he was good in Green Bay. I think, and I really felt like the last year, I feel like Aaron was kind of, not doing his plays. I thought he was playing below. I felt like, I know it's just the eyeball test, but I felt like Aaron was playing below par just so that Mike McCarthy would get fired.
Get out of here. Really? Well, did you think that really?
There's been lots of speculations about that.
Well, they're definitely, I heard they weren't really on the best of terms towards the end of that, his tenure there.
Yeah, and there was times like McCarthy would call in a play, and Rodgers was changing at the line. I'm not changing the huddle. So
it's very passive aggressive.
He was very, here's the thing: Aaron Rodgers has always been that way. He's very passive aggressive. So it's not me calling out a limb and saying, "Oh, Aaron Rodgers is being passive aggressive." He's always been that way. The former players have said that about him,
right?
And so. But, you know, I think it was a marriage that was probably, it was doomed for a while. They just, nobody was ready to pull the trigger. So, no, I mean, if I'm Mike McCarthy, that's a great situation to go into. I mean, you get Zach, Zeke, and Amari Cooper. I mean, he's got to be like, oh, thank you. You know,
right.
He's got a great, I think, you know, between, I think we both love Dak. I think we all believe he's going to be a future great quarterback. He's already proven it, I think, in the last few years. I mean, this last season, I put a lot on the coaching staff. I don't put a lot on the players for last season. That they underperformed. No, you could tell. They just did not. They did not play for that coach last year.
Okay.
So, you know, I like. What do you think? Do you like the McCarthy?
I do, because I didn't dislike him in Green Bay. And sometimes when I'm thinking about things like this, like I go to think about like recent memory and like what did I think about it before? Like what did I think about it when he was coaching? What did I think about him when he was coaching? Just like kind of subconsciously. And I never thought he was a bad coach. I never thought that his team were horrible because of him. Sometimes it's a need of a change in the room, a change in voice, you know? When Andy Reid, I remember, and this is a different situation because, you know, I love me some Andy Reid. So I have these in two totally different coaching classes, but I do see some similar. No, not all the way, but there were some, because I remember when Andy Reid left Philadelphia, I remember telling my mom that because she was a Mike Vick fan up there. So when he left Philadelphia, I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, Andy Reid's going to have a job in like an hour. He's going to have a job. He's going to have a job before he packs his bags and leaves. Out of that facility, he will be going to another facility. You know what I mean? Like, he's just that good. And I didn't feel like it was anything to do with him personally. I just felt like maybe it's changing voice. And even though I don't feel the same, I didn't feel as strongly about McCarthy. I didn't feel like he was going to be able to leave Green Bay and get another job immediately. And I didn't feel like he's nearly as good as Andy Reid, in my opinion. I didn't feel like the Green Bay Packers woes were all on him. I kind of felt like there is something, he's not really getting the best to play with at the time. They weren't really building through free agency. They were always trying to build through the draft, and they weren't really great at it. So they were always kind of anemic at the running game, and Aaron Rodgers was having to play hero ball a lot. And I didn't think that was all the way on McCarthy. Clearly there was a breakup there. And if you're the organization, you can't, you owe Aaron Rodgers a ton of money and you hope to pay him again. So you know who you have to choose. That's just kind of the nature of the beast here. It's not really a reflection of McCarthy, in my opinion, it's just the nature of the beast. You're not going to choose the coach over the quarterback, especially a quarterback, a transcendent quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. So I do like this move. I feel like it's the best job available. Cowboys job is a good job, man. It's a good job because it's their popular team, but they have a good team. You're coming into a ready-made team. Now, the thing is, that being said, I feel like you also have a an expectation to be good fast. Like there's an expectation of playoffs for him next year.
He's in a very winnable division. I mean, it's
true indeed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Eagles won it being 9-7, and they lost it being 8-8. So I mean, it's not like, and you know, and there's two of those teams that are probably still on the rebuilding mode between the Giants and the
Redskins
and the Redskins. Yeah. So I mean, it's not too hard to to win that division next year, you know.
Well, that's a good segue to the Giants here because Joe Judge, who's signed a, I think it's a 5-year deal, and it's reportedly $5 million a year. And I know nothing about this guy. Say he's the biggest issue I had with this hire, and there was only one, and it was very much on the surface. I will admit that. But my surface issue with this hire was what he coached at the Patriots. You're a wide receiver coach, and a special teams coach, I can let you live. Okay, special teams. Your special teams is pretty good. So, okay. I can go for that. And I'm not against special teams coach becoming head coaches because there's been proven track records of this has happened and there you've had some be successful. So this is not a something that would be crazy if it was to happen. But when you look at their wide receivers, though, at the Patriots, it's one of their biggest needs. It's one of their biggest areas of deficiency. So it's kind of crazy for me to see somebody who coaches the biggest area of deficiency somewhere get a head coaching job somewhere else. Strange to me.
And I was listening to Inside the NFL this morning. Mm-hmm. And it's also why it's another thing too. Were there any minority people interviewed for that job?
You know, it's when you see the Rooney rule. Yes. I can see a person like Marvin Lewis going on a nationwide tour. Let's get him in here. Let's wine and dine. We fulfilled our Rooney Rule obligations. We send him on his way and hire the guy we want to hire. Now, if anything happened like that, I can see that happening. But when you see this hire, it's hard to think that any minority candidates were actually considered seriously for this position.
Bieniemy and for the Chiefs, that offense has been crazy this past year. Even I know Leftwich was just his first year, I think, being the offensive, I think this is his first season being offensive coordinator for the Bucks. But I mean, that Bucks offense was on fire last year. I mean, I know we all know Winston had his ups and downs, but I mean, they still scored a lot of points. So I mean, there was a lot of other and they were saying there's only four minority coaches in the NFL.
Strange.
And there would have only been three if Ron Rivera didn't take the job in with the Redskins. And I hate to be negative, but I mean, I hate to be mean, but I don't know if I want to count Mike Tomlin in that conversation anymore because he's had it for like 10 years.
Yeah, you know? it is. It's he's like the establishment at this point.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like, oh, Tomlin again.
It's like counting Belichick and Reed in coach. Like they're the establishment. They become so synonymous with the sport after their super long tenures. Right. And it's you kind of start counting after them. Like, of course you count them, but then you kind of start looking around after them.
Exactly. But it's like Tomlin's been there, like, he's what, 10 plus years?
Yeah, and that job's not going to be available. So it's like
No.
I mean, what do you do? You do. I think Marvin Lewis will get a look here at some point because Marvin Lewis is going to get the Mike McCarthy treatment. Let me be first person to tell you here. He's getting the Mike McCarthy treatment. Somebody's going to hire Marvin Lewis. I think, you know, one of the biggest reasons I think he's going to get hired is because how horrible they look this year. That helped him, in my opinion. When you leave an organization and they tank, then it seems like you were adding something to that organization, whether it was stability. You added something because when you left, they tanked tremendously. And that was what happened with Marvin Lewis. The Bengals tanked tremendously after he left. He had several mediocre years, several. But at least he always had them somewhat competitive most of his years. You know, they were competing.
They were competing, and they're not a major market. They're mid market, and he had them competing every year, which you've got to give that to.
You got to give it to him. It's not easy. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to get a job as a result of that. Eugene, I feel like he will get a job someplace else.
He deserves a job. For what he did, for what he had, every year, and he made Andy Dalton look good. Let's just say Andy Dalton is a C plus C minus quarterback at best, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe B if you give him that, but he made that team look really good.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see kind of how this all comes about. Out of the three, McCarthy's definitely set up the best. I don't know the other two to give any kind of thoughtful analysis on them. I don't watch any Baylor games. Of course, there's more out there. I know more about Matt Rhule than I do about Joe Judge. I would have to literally go around, go back and watch special teams cup footage. And I'm just not about to do that. I just know that New England has had a solid special team. So if he was hired on his special teams credentials, then I don't have nothing to say about that. He has been a coach in the league for 8 years. So it is what it is. I mean, it's not like he came out of absolute nowhere, but it is kind of strange. Just strange hiring for an organization such as the Giants.
For the Giants, not saying he's going to be a dud, but I feel like they've hired a lot of duds the last couple of years.
They have Shermer. And then now, if you go from Shermer to Joe Judge, it's not going to motivate your fan base. So it's interesting to see what Gettleman's doing here. If Gettleman made that hire, it's interesting to see what he's doing here. I have complete trust in the Maras because the Maras are like the Rooneys to me. Like, they're a solid family, solid football family. Okay. Solid ownership. They've been in the league. They've owned the Giants for quite some time, you know, so there's stability there. But this is strange to me. These last couple coach hires are strange. Pat Shermer and Joe Judge have been the last two coaches for the New York football Giants.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they're not a small market.
It's not a small, not at all.
I don't understand. I don't get it. So,
well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So we have a slate of games. We have four games this weekend. Two today at the time of this recording, which are, what games do we have today? We have Ravens today.
Yeah, Ravens is playing. The 6:40 plus game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, hang on. I will tell you. 2 seconds. Let me pull this up. I had it up already. Oh, so you got Minnesota at San Francisco. That's the 4:35 game. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So then you got Tennessee at Baltimore is the 8:15 game.
Okay. So let's start with our first game here. The Vikings and San Fran. Who do you got?
Well, I was going to give you your 1 minute there of gloating about, your guy.
Well, let's rewind that then, and let's start there then, my friend. You're absolutely right, because I do remember us discussing this. I feel like, and I told, I have a friend of mine, and I'm going to take this full minute. I'm taking a full minute right here, Eugene. I'm sorry. I've been beating the Kirk Cousins drum for years. I've been telling people, I don't think this guy is a transcendent quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a good quarterback. Now, you know what is the enemy of good? Perfect. Perfect is the enemy of good, Eugene. Okay. Tell my daughter this, and I live by it. Perfect is the enemy of good. People like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban have gotten a lot of coaches fired because people look at them and they say, Belichick's doing it. Saban's doing it. Why aren't you doing it? You might have a good young coach, but you won't be those two coaches. And as a result, it gets coaches fired. Now, when you look at the quarterback situation, is Kirk Cousins Tom Brady? Is he Drew Brees? No, of course not. He isn't. But he is a quarterback that you can pencil in to that QB position week in and week out and know that he won't be the reason you lose a game. Will he be the reason you win a game? Up until this past weekend, we didn't know. And it wasn't looking like it. I am a firm believer because I have a Viking, a diehard Viking fan. One of my best friends is a diehard Vikings fan. Been that way for years. And he is always up and down on Cousins. Always in pure fandom mode. He's up and down like we are here in Atlanta or like the Atlanta fans are on Matt Ryan. He's up there, up and down. He's up and down on Kirk Cousins. Man, we got to get this guy out of here. He's a bum, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe it. I can't believe he pulled through. He won for us. And I'm just like, listen, man. if you can put a guy back there at that position, the most important position on your team, if you can put a guy back there who's slightly above average, I believe like Kirk Cousins' stats make him above average. He's not an average quarterback by his stats.
No, he's above.
And he's above average.
I see that.
So I was like, he's an above average guy that's not passing the eye test to a lot of people and is not winning the big game. Now, I told him that that's worth something. It's worth something because he was like, he asked me two questions. He was like, do you feel like he asked me the kind of quarterback I felt like he ultimately was. And then he asked me if I felt like he's worth the money. And I tackled that question in two different ways. Worth the money? Absolutely. Absolutely worth the money, because if you can pencil in somebody at the most important position on your team without having to think about it, and all you got to do now is think about everybody else, that alone is worth the money, in my opinion, because go around and look at some of these teams and how they look this year when their quarterbacks went down. Go ahead. Look at my Steelers. Look how they looked when their quarterback went down. It is not easy. And best laid plans, if you got a quarterback that could stay healthy and deliver for you week in and week out, like Tom Brady, earlier Tom Brady, I should say, but Tom Brady still, Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, these are quarterbacks who can deliver for you. You know, I love me some Deshaun Watson, and you saw what happened with him last week. He's a quarterback who's going to deliver for you. Kirk Cousins isn't that. The Kirk Cousins Deshaun Watson comparison is one of the best I can make. To show the difference between these two. Kirk Cousins statistically can compete with Deshaun Watson. Statistically. But does he have that, I'm going to send him out there and he's going to put this team on his back and win this game for us? He doesn't. He's going to need a running game. He's going to need his receivers. And this was a question my friend asked me. He asked me if I felt they were going to win that game. And then he asked me if I felt he was worth the money. And I told him that if they have everybody, Thielen, Diggs, Cook, Rudolph, Kirk Cousins will need everybody. He's going to need everybody because that's just the kind of quarterback he is. And I will definitely concede that. He needs everybody because he's not going to be able to win these games on his own, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to be able to just will the team to a win playing with just a couple of pedestrian receivers and Dalvin Cook being injured.
Yeah.
But with everybody, you got the most important position plugged in already. And it's kind of like, I feel like they take it so for granted that they can just plug that guy in and keep it moving that they don't pay attention to what happens to these other teams that don't have that luxury of being able to have a guy that back there that you can start week in and week out. That's what Kirk Cousins is to me, a dependable starter who can win you games, who won't lose you games. And I feel like that's worth the money to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, no. And he went into the Lions' den and slayed the lion. There's no doubt about that. And I, you know, that's the question I was going to ask you. I think we got to stop thinking the Saints are like this great team.
You know, because the last few years, man, what's going on here?
And you know, here's the thing too. I love Drew Brees, but Drew Brees is 8-8 in the playoffs.
That's true. And you know, you were saying before that they were an onside kick away from having a worse record than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got, here's the record since 2009. Won the Super Bowl, right? 2009, 2010, lost the wild card. 2011, wild card win, losing the division. 2013, wild card win, losing the division. 2017, wild card win, losing the division. 2018, won the division, lost the conference championship, and the wild card loss last week. So that's a.
Does he get any credit for actually getting them to the playoffs? Do you give any credit for that?
I think so. I mean, you got to at least give a team. I mean, I don't put our division as an easy division. Like, I think we have competitive. We got the Falcons. We got the Panthers. Got the Bucks are still, you know, they're still kind of, you know, they're so interesting, you know. Then you got the Saints, so it's a tough division, I think, to get through. You know, a lot of teams we play don't lay down, and the Saints don't lay down either. So, but again, it's just I think you got to put in context as like we've got to are they this team, because you watch that game, they look to me like they kept acting like they were winning the game. Like, you know, from the sideline, you know,
I don't know if they ever thought they were really going to lose it.
Right. They just had that look in their eyes, and you can see that from the coaching staff. It's like everyone looked like they're, it's like, man, and Minnesota just went in there and they just, hey, we're not losing. And it was, and the whole thing with the overtime and the play before the overtime, I don't understand why they didn't call a timeout to give, you know, Breeze 20, they give him those extra, give him that 22 seconds. That's a lifetime for Breeze, and it's like they were going okay, we're just going to go to overtime and we're going to win it, and they did not expect Minnesota to do that to them.
That's true. Well, I agree with the sense that they at least have earned the right, or they've lost the privilege, I should say, of being looked at as prohibitive favorites in these games. They're a solid team. The simple fact they do make the playoffs does count for something, but early playoff exits don't look good. And then they don't look good when they're happening year after year. So do they lose the whole, we think the Saints are going to win no matter where, or we think the Saints are going to win no matter where they play type situation, or we definitely think they're going to win when they play in New Orleans? They've lost that for sure,
yeah, in my opinion. Yeah, because I agree.
Do you think the Vikings have a chance against San Fran?
I do. I think that's going to be, that confidence is a huge factor. Now you've kind of taken that monkey off. I mean, you can't take away pass, right? But that's got to make Kirk Cousins feel really good about going in. Hey, we went into New Orleans and we beat a tough New Orleans team on the road, and now we get to go. I think they have a good chance.
And they beat them. Kirk Cousins beat them at the end, but he had to beat them, and he did.
Yeah, he beat them. It wasn't a defense. He didn't have to rely. He took them down and he won that game. So that, and he's got his confidence got to be riding high. And you know, I know 49ers are rested, but hey, man, they've got to have the most confidence in the world going into that game. So I'm crazy saying this, but I think San Francisco, I mean, sorry, the Vikings are going to go in there and win that game.
You think they're going to win?
I think they're winning.
Are you
game.
Picking them?
I'm picking them. I'm
wow. Them. So the Vikings are your pick for this. Wait a second, Eugene.
I know.
Wait a second. Here, Eugene, wait a second. I need to go back and mark this. It is January 11th, 2020.
Write it down.
Eugene Morton has just picked Kirk Cousins.
Nope, I don't feel good about it.
Kirk Cousins led team to win a playoff game on the road again in San Francisco against the number one seed.
But I agree with you that he has all the weapons. Everyone's healthy. Delvin Cook looked great. Diggs looked great. England looked great last week. Everyone looked good. And you know, they did what they needed to do in that game. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be close, but I can see them keeping the game close and pulling it out by a field goal.
Okay.
You think I'm right or wrong in that?
This is a rough game for me, man. This is a rough game for me to pick because I have a somewhat of a distrust of San Francisco. I remember when the Falcons played them. I don't know what it is. I believe that their defense is very real. I believe their defense is very real. I believe Shanahan is very talented, and I believe Jimmy G has gone has done a lot to prove himself. Because I always thought Jimmy D was an unproven commodity and didn't know if he deserved his contract. I wasn't one of those people that was like, he doesn't deserve it. But I was one of those jury still out people up until this year. Like, I just don't know what this guy is until he played a full season. And I do give people credit for how a team looks without you. If a team looks great without you, if a team looks good without you, bad without you, and a team looked horrible without him. So, and they looked, they're in number one seed with him. You can't poo-poo. Like, that's on paper. That's something that, and it's not like he's, his stats don't set the world on fire to me, but he's definitely worth the money he's been paid. And this is hard because I want the Vikings to win so I can have my Kirk Cousins minute again next week. So I find, you know, you're going to see this theme on a couple of our picks today. This theme is going to be out there. The who I want to win versus who I think will win. I want the Vikings to win because, you know, my good friend is a Vikings fan. I'll root with him at this point. And I want my some more Kirk Cousins gloat to go on here. If I was a betting man and I had to put money down, do I think they would win? I would not bet against the 49ers in this game. I just couldn't. I couldn't with my money. And so I can't mislead the audience. You know, I would not with my money bet against the 49ers for this game. That being said, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I mean, for the sake of us being a sports show, I'm going to pick the 49ers. Let's have a little bit of controversy here. I'm going to pick the 49ers. You pick the Vikings. That's what my football acumen is telling me to do. But my heart is with the Vikings here.
No, the funny thing is, though, it's kind of funny watching these last eight teams. There's not a team on here, if you go through the list, that I dislike. So it's kind of funny to watch it because last
year there's something to like about all these teams, right?
Yeah. We've kind of last few years, we've kind of hate watched the Patriots, right?
Right.
Or even the Saints.
Foregone conclusion. Foregone conclusion.
Right. So now it's like you look at the list. I'm like, I could get behind any of these teams going the playoffs. I mean, finish the playoffs and be in the Super Bowl.
Oh,
I
would not mind. Very exciting. No matter who wins.
Yeah. Who wins these games. It's going to be, I'm kind of excited to see who's going to be Super Bowl. Because it's like, wow. It's like, at least it's something new. We're not having the same teams again, you know, or same team again, I should say, the Patriots every year. So,
yeah, I'm excited to see a change of pace here. Do you think that Lamar will continue his run? He's been off for 3 weeks.
I think so. They're just going to, don't get me wrong, it was great to watch them just manhandle the Patriots last week.
Tennessee Titans. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun to see that, but it was
man amongst boys running over those guys up there.
Yeah. It just is a different team. They're playing against, they're not playing the Patriots this week. They're playing Baltimore and they're just like they're like a 10-headed monster. You know, they're with that offense.
Interested to see. I think that if anything hurts them, it would be the rest. I'm interested to see how they come out in the first quarter to see if there's any rust there. Rust versus rest. Who knows? There's no reason not to pick the Ravens here because they've just given you no reason not to pick them. I mean, for me, in my perspective here, I've had no reason not to pick them. They've been rolling competition. So they've been like the LSU of the NFL. They're just rolling competition, man. Like they are rolling good teams, you know? Yeah, so,
and then they put in all the backups the last game and they still beat the Steelers. I mean, it's insane.
Insane. It is. They put their backups in and they look like a regular team instead of looking like a super team. They look like a regular team. So it's I don't know what you do with that.
Yeah. I mean, Derrick Henry it was awesome watching him last week. It was great seeing the Patriots lose. It was really great seeing them pick six him for pretty much the final play of the game. But yeah, I think it ends here.
I like redemption stories. So I like the Tannehill situation. I like seeing people go from one place to the next and kind of pick themselves up because sometimes life's not perfect. You don't have perfect results the first time out in endeavors that you pursue. But the thing is you can still have a second, third, fourth act. And Ryan Tannehill is showing that. And I really like watching it kind of come happen before our eyes. I do think that it will end today. However, like you said in the beginning, if Tennessee was to win there, I have my Steelers aren't in this and my Falcons aren't in this. So it doesn't really matter to me. I would love to see Lamar do it. Stick it to him. Stick it to people by winning the Super Bowl and hoisting that trophy. But I wouldn't mind Mahomes hoisting the trophy either, because I love Andy Reid, and we'll get into that in a second. He's my absolute favorite in these whole playoffs. There's not necessarily a team that would win that I would be upset about, but there, if Andy Reid won, I'd be very happy about that. So getting into those games, we both got the Ravens there. No mystery. Getting into the next set of games here, I think the early game is the AFC game, I want to say. I think it's the Texans and Chiefs is the early game.
Yep. It's 3:05.
So who do you have there? God, it's going to be I love both those guys. Man, I love me some Deshaun Watson. I love Deshaun Watson more than I like Patrick Mahomes. I love Deshaun Watson. I don't know what it is. I love that kid.
Yeah. I watched that. I watched that play from last week, that one where the two linemen came in and pancaked him.
And then he spun out.
I don't know how the hell he did not fall. Because if that was me, I would have just died. I would have died right there. You would have to come.
Of course.
Come
it's stretcher me. Time instantly. Very instant stretcher.
I'm waving to the crowd, giving him thumbs up.
Instant stretcher, giving me a thumbs up as I'm being carted off the field. Absolutely.
He was hit by one, and then he got bounced into the other person, and then spun away. It was like, ridiculous. He's just ridiculously awesome, and it was like he's phenomenal. With that being said, I just again like with the Titans game, kind of think this is where it ends for Houston.
I do too.
I think the Chiefs, their defense has been playing lights out the last couple of weeks. I mean, ever since I think almost like week 8 or whatever, week 9, they have figured it out on defense side. And And Mahomes is every week he's getting healthier.
They don't seem like despite the fact they've been playing this year in games where they haven't won all the games, but it doesn't seem like they've been challenged this year. I don't know. It's kind of like when Kansas City and the Ravens have played this year, that winning was just the expectation. I don't know why. But that just seems like what it's been this year. Winning's just been the expectation, and they haven't let teams down. They haven't let us down.
No. It wasn't like last year where they're just blowing out teams. Now they're just going in and just, taking care of business and like, okay, we're up 21-10, 21-17, we're good.
They went in there and embarrassed the Patriots.
Yes, embarrassed them. They did.
So, I think that was in Foxborough. So. Listen, I don't know.
This is a great matchup. I mean, these are the two quarterbacks. I would love to, if you're going to spend money on tickets, man, this would be a show to go watch.
Man, could you imagine that Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, or Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes AFC Championship game, man? Could you imagine what that would be like? Oh my God, it's going to be amazing if it's to come to pass. Now, this has my favorite guy in it. This is the team that I am rooting for. The guy I'm rooting for is Andy Reid. If you listen to this show for any period of time, you know how much I love this guy. I love this guy. Belichick, Reid, Tomlin, the trifecta there. I love these coaches. And Reid is way past due. He needs a Super Bowl, man. I want him to have a Super Bowl. So he's my favorite guy that I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for one guy. There's 8 teams right now, but I'm rooting for one guy. And that is Andy Reid. So I really, really, really would love to see him hoist that Super Bowl trophy at the end of the year when all this is all said and done. But definitely picking him to get through this game, at least, despite my love for Deshaun Watson. I think that the Chiefs are just more put together.
Yeah.
Going into the NFC Championship game, things are a little bit more interesting. This is a game that really pains me to have to even think about because, I love me some Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, also, if you've listened to this show, I love this guy. I talk about him a lot. He's a transcendent player. First ballot Hall of Famer. The accolades he's never had. He's almost every season. He's never had a losing season. And he's had almost all of them have been over double digit win seasons. 10 wins and above. When you think about how hard that is to do in this league, in the NFL, how hard that is to do. It's amazing. Seattle backed the Brinks truck up to him last year, rightfully so. You're not letting a guy like that out of there. I do think, though, his task is daunting because not only are you playing the pack, you're playing the weather and you're playing at Lambeau. This will be a very different game for me to pick if they were playing in Seattle. But playing in Lambeau is a home field advantage for Rodgers here. And I don't know what the, have you seen what the weather's like there?
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, but the thing is, Seattle's been playing great on the road this year.
They have definitely been playing great. They've been playing. I want to say they have a better road record than their home record is.
They do. They're 8-1. What the last week's win? You count the playoff game. They're 8-1 on the road this year.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt that they can go on the road and beat a team. I don't know if you can go to Lambeau and beat that team. I think it's very different to go to Philly and beat that team on the road than to go to Lambeau and beat that team. The Pack are a good team. Let's think about this for a second. Aaron Rodgers has put teams on his back and won games. He has a team. Devontae Adams is a legitimate receiver. Aaron Jones is a legitimate running back. And if they're both healthy, I think they are. If they're both healthy and the defense that's respectable, you've given Rodgers tools that he didn't have before in a few years when he did have success in those years. So then it's hard pressed for me to be like, you add those things and he's going to be less successful.
Right. But I don't know about the Packers. I don't know about this team. They're 13-3. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're the least scariest 13-3 team I think I've seen in a while.
We have a lot of that this season. You know? We have a lot of teams this season that have like records where you're like, yeah, I don't trust that record.
I see that you're 13-3, but I don't really believe that 13-3. Oh, by the way, the weather's going to be the low is 22 degrees.
Uh-huh.
The high is 24 degrees.
Is there any snow or anything like that? Any precipitation? Rain? Of course, coming from Seattle, they can deal with rain. But snow?
Sunday, mostly cloudy. You know, doesn't really show snow per se. No,
that's a night game too, right? Because that's the late game. So that's going to be in the evening.
That's the late game.
So you're going to probably get closer to that 22 than that 24 if it's going into the evening time there, and those temps are dropping. But if anybody can get done,
so storms headed towards Green Bay could dump 8 to 10 inches Saturday ahead of Packers playoff game.
That's where they were shoveling that snow up there. They're paying you $12 an hour to get up there and shovel snow. If you're in the Green Bay area and you're looking for employment, head down to Lambeau Field, collect your $12 an hour, pick that shovel up. You know, start getting that snow out of there, getting the field ready for the game tomorrow. Who do you got? You got Russell? You taking Seattle?
I don't know. I mean,
it's hard, bro. It's not easy.
No,
it's not easy.
I know, because Seattle's same way. Great, great regular season game, but I know they kind of limped in the playoffs at the end of the year because they had some injuries as well. But God, I can't pick against Russell. I can't pick against them. I trust them more than I trust Green Bay. I don't know. I just watched Green Bay games to this year. I mean, if I'm Seattle, I'm not scared of that team. I've watched that, they're just not, they're not a scary team to me. They're not scary at 13-3. I know. And Rodgers, he's still a great quarterback, but he's 36 years old, so you got to contend with that too. I'm not picking against Russell Wilson in playoffs.
Okay. So you got Russell. You can take a Seahawks.
I got Russell. I got Seahawks.
Okay, so this is going to be like my San Fran pick. If I was betting money, there's no way in the world I could put money against Green Bay in January with a healthy Aaron Rodgers and a healthy Aaron Jones. Now, that does depend on those other parts being healthy. He doesn't need the other parts like Kirk Cousins does, of course. But we know that they're just a much better team when Aaron Jones is running the ball. They're a much better team. So it's kind of like if Aaron Jones is healthy, I would not bet my own money against the Packers. I would have to be transparent with the audience. As much as I love Russell Wilson, I would not bet my money against the Packers because Aaron Rodgers could just show up. And with somebody that's that talented, you don't ever know. But the guy could just show up. And if he shows up remotely, it's going to be a long day for Seattle. Not to mention, couple that with the fact that I did not love how Seattle looked against Philly. They weren't dominant against Philly. And Philly is not nearly as good a team as Green Bay. So, I don't know, man. My heart's with Russell Wilson.
Here. Yeah, but that was a typical Seattle playoff game.
They hang around for a while, and then they get over the hump.
Yep. And there's that third, whatever, third and 20 something, third and 24 to DK Metcalf, and he just catches it and stumbles in the end zone. That's a typical Seattle, Seattle playoff game, So I can see them doing the same thing but again, I agree with you. Aaron Rodgers could just go off,
Yeah, and that's what makes it so hard if you're a gambling man trying to bet a game like this. I will tell you this also. Another thing that gives me trepidation about picking Seattle is no Chris Carson. And I didn't love how Marshawn Lynch looked. He had a couple of beast mode moments, but they were a couple of beast mode moments. And one in the beast mode game, it was a few beast mode moments here and there. You're going to need more than that if Aaron Jones is running the ball good. You're going to need more than right. that. You're going to need some kind of running game. They don't have the receivers, even though I love a Tyler Lockett, but I don't think Russell can beat them just in the air. They're going to need to get some yards on the ground. And if that weather factors in, you're going to need even more. So I'm going to pick the pack here. This is my pick, like my San Fran pick. And this has been a sad day for me because I don't want to ever have a day again where I pick against Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson on the same day. Like I can't do it. It makes me sick to my stomach to even have to do this show. Like I cannot believe I just did that. Like I don't ever want to have a day like this again. Because I love Russell Wilson. Dude. I love Deshaun Watson.
I'm picking Kirk Cousins. You're picking against everyone up
here. Right. This is
all your guys.
My guys are getting picked against because I cannot pick against Green Bay at home in Lambeau in January. And also, I just think that it's Andy Reid's time here. I don't think the Texans aren't, it's not Deshaun Watson's fault. I just think the Chiefs are just a better all around team right now.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll see what happens here. This is Reg and ATL Sports Talk with Eugene Morton. Check us out. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Talk to you later.